Hello from Matilla's Multimedia in the beautiful Comox Valley. You're listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm your host and chef, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks for joining us again as we explore further into the culinary world of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Tonight, Does good food make a successful restaurant?
Interesting. I mean, I think on surface, everybody would agree that good food is what makes a great restaurant.
Well, I've been sort of thinking about that fact, and you know what? If you were to believe that fact, you'd probably be along the same group of the 60% of people that fail in restaurants within the first year of opening.
Wow.
Because there's a lot to making a restaurant that builds it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, just going in there and going, I can cook really good food and people really love the food I make, isn't always enough to sort of get you by.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot more to the restaurant business than just the menu.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking about that and sort of it was sort of rolling through me. And actually what brought me to this is I've been sort of battling with food costs.
Right.
And you know, with things, you know, with inflation and prices going up and
Yeah, there were a couple of significant jumps this last year.
Yeah. You can look at, and there's lots of reasons for that, you know, like definitely we can look at fuel, we can look at weather conditions, we can look at natural disasters. Like there's been a few things on the go. And, you know, being in a restaurant, it's kind of a battle because you're kind of always, you're a couple steps behind, right? It's always like that constant sort of keep up to sort of keep yourself, you know, on the front page and having, you know, there's a balance of being successful, you know, and producing amazing, wonderful food as well as making a bit of profit off it.
Right, yeah.
And so I wanted to sort of look at sort of the three aspects that really, really influence that.
Sure.
And then sort of go into like how we can make a good restaurant because I mean, you got to look at it. I always look at it this way, right? Location. You can be the best cook in the world, but if you're in the middle of nowhere, it's going to be hard to pull, right?
Yeah.
You know, hiring is a huge problem. And that's one of our other podcasts we did.
Yes.
That we went through and we're sort of like, hey, wait, where are all the good cooks gone? Like it's one thing to be that, to be yourself and in there, but it takes a team to be able to keep a restaurant going.
Absolutely.
You know, and then getting that team, training them, and keeping them motivated. And then the biggest one is just, you know, having a make a profit.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
So are we going to talk about all these points in a little more detail, or?
Yeah, I think we should go into it, and I think we should just go into what is food cost? Like, how do you get food cost? And sort of look at it like, you know, where are the expenses in restaurants? And I think we're going to break this down into a couple podcasts over the next little while because there's sort of three sections that we can talk about. And first of all, I'd like to talk about food, and that's food and beverage, and that's that you have to look at. Well, let's talk about the three. There's food and beverage. There is labor, which is salary and wages. And then there's operating costs. And those are, you know, rent, hydro. Yeah. Gas, water, taxes, insurance, permits, you know, those are kind of all fixed prices and, you know, fixed things. Your labor cost is pretty well fixed, but you have the ability to play with it a little bit. And then food costs, which is the kind of variable one that changes on season, changes by day. And it's what you can bring in and how you can make it profitable.
Okay. Well, so there's a bit of an overview of how to make a restaurant and how to make it successful. So what are we going to zero in on today?
Well, today let's zero in on food costs.
Okay.
Let's try and work on how we get that.
So obviously it's important to figure out your food costs based on just how you opened the show. Just that a lot of people, they'll make fantastic food, but if they haven't factored in the food costs properly, if they're not working at an acceptable margin, there's a good chance they're going to go out of business. So food costing is very important for a chef in a restaurant to determine.
Right.
They need to know what their food costs.
And there's lots of variables that go in there. But let's just look at a standard standard restaurant. Well, let's just look at profits because profits are easy. And it's simple to say is that sales minus your labor, your overhead, and your food costs comes into your profit.
Yeah.
So you're successful as long as that labor, overhead, and food cost is below what the sales are.
Yeah.
Simple math here. And so a lot of restaurants, depending on what kind of restaurant they are, run at different rates. So we're going to look at like a luxury restaurant. They're usually running a higher food cost compared to, say, some casual dining
yeah.
fast casual place,
right?
Which is expensive product,
right?
And getting a less money out of it. So mm-hmm. a lot of times in restaurants we run off a percentage, and so a lot of times you want to factor in is that you're balancing between sort of a 25 to 28% cost. 38. Sorry,
yeah. No, 20, that's right.
25 to 38.
I was like, that is a.
I'm glad you're.
I've had a couple of places myself. I've had a couple of food based businesses, not including the one that we had in that owned together. And you've been in charge of a few places yourself. So, I mean, speaking to that really quickly, I had one where my food cost was, I was, you know, jumping for joy because my food cost was at about 10%. But my labor on that was insane. It was absolutely insane. But it still worked because I gave up on food costs and it was made up on labor.
Right.
It ended up balancing out anyways. And then on the flip side, I had another one where my food cost was pretty much average and, you know, my labor cost was pretty much average. And I've, you know, more or less hit those general marks that everybody else needs to. So it depends. Yeah, exactly. It depends on what you're doing. There's some finessing of numbers there. Sometimes your food cost is going to be lower, your labor is going to be higher, or vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking, let's just start by a basic system of setting up. How would we even come up with our food cost?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how do you price out stuff? Because I know we've both done this several times. Yeah. I know working together.
Yeah.
Over the years, we've battled over this. You know, and this is where it comes down to is having a good recipe,
mm-hmm.
right? It's that list of ingredients. And knowing the amounts that you're using in each dish
mm-hmm.
and then being able to price out each individual item.
Again, I think that speaks well to a chef is not just that they're really good at cooking or really good at making good food. It's A, it's consistency, but B, that consistency derives from having recipes. And even though they can do it without a recipe, they need to write it down not only for consistency, but for food cost. It is absolutely important to actually have a physical recipe where you can monitor all your costs at any given moment.
I know. And this is probably the thing I hate most about my job at all, is just breaking down these things and physically yeah. writing it down. And truthfully, you know, with years gone by, getting a little bit better, and mm-hmm. and maybe I wing it a little bit, mm-hmm. and not to say mm-hmm. that I'm off of my food costs, but sometimes I do. I know I run in my restaurant a much higher food cost in a lot of places, and I run a mm-hmm. higher food cost and labor cost because mm-hmm. I try and use best quality ingredients, mm-hmm. and I have a lot of staff, and everything is handmade, so it's that's a bit
exactly
pricey.
It. I mean, you do have high labor costs, but that's because everything is done right there.
Right.
You're not bringing in outside product. Anyways.
Back on to that. So yeah, now it's, as I was saying, a list of ingredients and costing out each ingredients to mm-hmm. its price. And then finding out what that total cost mm-hmm. of all of your items, as in one serving, costs you.
Right.
And so that's where the easy math comes in. And that's mm-hmm. where you kind of got to go back, and that's where you got to look at what your profit margin's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to throw out numbers because we're doing a podcast and mm-hmm. you're probably listening to this as you're driving your car or working in the garden or something like this. And honestly, this is a lot of math and it's kind of boring.
Right.
In all aspects. But it's taking that understanding that those ingredients, there's a cost to it, and being able to get that, reflect that back in your menu and see where you want your food cost to be. So it's hitting that mm-hmm. percent. Are you, you know, mm-hmm. are you going for that lower food cost because you're, you know, or are you going for that higher food cost, you right. know, to pay your extra things like your overhead and
right.
that. So that's kind of a balancing act. You kind of learn
exactly.
after you see after a while that this is how much this cost me and this is how much
right.
this cost me. And then determining, there's also, you know, you can, once you've figured out that percentage, and let's say mm-hmm. you want to run that 30% food cost, and I like 30%, I kind of run it a lot mm-hmm. for myself. And what I'll do is I'll just multiply things by 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be easy. So it's $3 food cost. Mm-hmm. I'll charge $9.
Right.
Or in a lot of senses, if I'm adding stuff to it, I'll add round up.
Right.
So, and if they're, you know, I'm just using round numbers to make it easier,
yeah.
but, you know, there is instances where it's, you know,
right.
450, so I'll round it to
yeah.
475.
And just to be clear too, you're not just arbitrarily throwing those numbers out. You've again, it's in trying to operate at that 37% food cost that you've targeted for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that at 37% food cost, the restaurant can still exist. It can still run on what else is coming in.
Exactly.
So,
which comes to my next point when you're looking at food costing. And I thought this was quite interesting and something to really, to look at, is coming and looking at, if you're doing a cheaper item on the menu, maybe having a higher food or a lower food cost on it.
Right.
So selling it for more money. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, like you were saying, you were doing a product that you were running at 10%.
And I have no problem telling you what that was. That was when I had the sushi truck, the sushi cart. And rice is cheap. And
nori rolls are cheap.
Exactly.
The seaweed paper.
Everything on that menu is pretty cheap, but I had very high labor costs. Yeah.
Exactly. So you had that product, but and it didn't cost much. So if you ran a 30% food cost on it, well, it cost you a dollar to make, so you'd be selling it for $3.
Right.
Right? Like, so just quick rounding. But then you look at the labor, add that on there, and all of a sudden that's an extra $2.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I would sell those rolls for $8 and I wasn't making crazy money. I was making an appropriate amount of money. I was paying everybody, paying the bills, paying everything. And at the end of the day, I still had a little bit for profit.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's that balancing act. And then you can look at it too, if you've got that more expensive product on the menu. And I do this with steaks just because I'm trying to keep the menu within a range, like we're trying to keep ourselves within a certain dollar range. So I actually run my steaks as a bit of a loss leader. Mm-hmm. I don't run a full 30% food cost on that.
Right.
I run probably a 38% food cost on that. Like sometimes I honestly think about it. But the fact is that percentage is much higher, right? So I'm actually a larger dollar value to it. So.
Right. I see what you're getting. So let's say two things. Let's say, let's talk about a breakfast, you know, eggs, some ham, some toast, and you're charging, because we know that those are less expensive items.
Right. Because an egg's a cup, you know. Right.
Yeah. And so let's say that what would you say generally is the profit on there if you were, say, I don't know.
Oh, well, you could
like
probably
round numbers. Don't go exact.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying you could probably run with like a 20%. So people are going to call us out on these because we're just throwing numbers out without adding here. But let's just say, you're charging a couple dollars for this item. Mm-hmm. So if you're charging $5 and it costs you $3 to make it, then you're only making a profit of, well, you're not making a profit of $2 because we don't have labor costs in here, right? So you're still looking at, that's running over 50%. So let's say it's a dollar, $5.
Right.
You know, it's still, you're only making a dollar in profit at the end of the day. Whereas you've got a steak, which you're running a lot higher, you know? So it's a 40% food cost, but you're making
you're getting
$10.
Exactly. You're getting a smaller percentage of return, but that single menu item is delivering you a bigger dollar in your pocket.
At the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. Right, I get that. So you have that variable item-to-item pricing based on, at the end of the day, is this worth it having on my menu?
Yes. And then the thing you have to worry about is if you overcook that steak.
Right. then it all goes out the window.
Then you're all out the window. So it's a fine balancing act to be able to do that. You know, you burn one case of chicken, and that completely ruins your whole day.
Yeah. Well, it probably ruins your whole month end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are the little things that people are looking at when you're doing food costs. And I think the big thing too is just getting at the end of it and analyzing it and making sure that sales, you know, or the profit is equal to the sales, and you're doing the multiplication, right? Like, you know, food cost divided by sales gives you your food cost percentage.
Right.
So it's really easy. So if you're looking at, honestly, you can go into most places and you can look at, if you want to feel like you're getting ripped off or whatever, you can look at what you're buying that for.
Right.
And then, you know, multiply it by your 30%. And that's probably what the kitchen's going to be costing them to put it out.
Right.
And then you got to think about when you're coming into a restaurant, which we're going to go into our next podcast, is labor costs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're coming into a restaurant, you're paying this much. It's costing this much for the food to go on the plate to you.
Right.
But they're also cleaning up after you.
Yeah.
Making sure you have a warm environment. taking care of your everyday needs.
Yeah.
And doing all these wonderful things for you that you just have to eat and go home.
Yeah, you just waltz in. And not only that, but half your menu dishes have probably 3 or 4 labor hours behind them because of the different components and ingredients that are going into them, possibly more. And you think, if somebody wants to replicate that, that's how long it's going to take them at home to do.
Right.
So, you know, you're also providing them that. It's a huge saving in time.
Yeah. So you have to remember that it is a service.
Yeah.
And it is a luxury.
Yep.
And so on both sides, for restaurateurs
yep.
and people in the food service industry, it's an honor to be able to serve people and give them
Absolutely,
something
yeah.
and provide them with a good time. And in the reflect, you know, all, those people that are making it need to make an income and need to pay their bills as well. So
yeah, okay. So have we talked mostly that we need what we need to about food costs today?
I think so.
So
I'm starting to get bored of it myself.
So wrapping up, there's food costs. There's the first part in our, I guess, multi-part shows about how to effectively run a restaurant. You got to nail your food costs first. You got to figure out where your food cost is. You got to figure out where you want it to lie. Where you can work it, where you can balance, and from there we get into the next step. But that's the next show.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening in to the Edible Valley Podcast again. Thanks for joining us. We want to quickly say thanks to all our sponsors. Obviously, Atlas Cafe, who was, you know, our test subject on a lot of what we're talking about right now. We're talking about our experience phase. There's the Butcher's Block. There is. Ivan's Truffles, and there is Beaufort Traditional. There's Kirsten Wood Music and Matilda's Multi, all of which we wouldn't be able to do this show without. So thank you very much to all of them. And John has some information.
And
for
definitely,
you.
We'd love to hear any comments about this or questions you may have about any of our episodes or anything you'd like to hear or hear from us in the future. If there's a topic you're curious about in the Comox Valley or anywhere that has to do with local food, food security, and just anything to do with just good food, mm-hmm. we're interested to find those people and talk to them and find out a little bit more about their history and why they got involved with what they're doing. So yes, thanks again for listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast, and send those emails to us at ediblevalley@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all our other sites at Twitter at the Edible Valley, our Facebook site. And of course, we're working a bit on an Instagram page with a bunch of photos, and we've just recently got some YouTube of our podcast up with some still photos of some food I've done around here and some shots of the place around
Here,
the Comox Valley, I guess.
Perfect.
So thank you for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.